Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today here at Cross Point. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're with us each weekend, we are just considered a privilege you've chosen to join us today. How about Mark Harris leading us today in the Cross Point band? Let's give some props to the band. I don't know that they can see you, but they can hear you. So thank you for thanking them. My name's Kurt. If we haven't a chance to meet, it's great to meet you. Again, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Man, it's crazy time going on right now in our world. I don't think I have to remind us of that. We're seeing that, we're feeling that, we're observing that. And yet at the same time, we are seeing the goodness of humanity all around us. It's pretty amazing what's been happening when there are needs in our midst and we're seeing people all around us step up in ways that I don't think our world, at least in my lifetime, has seen. So it's very, very cool to see. Now, one of the things that I've had the privilege of doing over the last couple of weeks is getting on a call with our mayor here in our community each Thursday. And, you know, these are updates that we get, and it's been very helpful as we continue to try to do our part in mitigating this virus in our community. And so thank you for staying home. We have a very, very small crew here bringing you this weekend's service. One of the things that we continue to hear, in fact, we heard this week, is the next 3 weeks are going to be some of the most difficult weeks that we've experienced in this. As the cases, positive cases go up, as deaths rise, as our businesses continue to get affected, our schools continue to get affected, our lives, the people that we're close to begin to be affected by this virus. And so we are just committed to continuing to bring hope, encouragement, and even some fun and laughter into your home along with great music. So we really do consider it a privilege that you're tuning in with us today. Now, we realize there are needs in every one of our lives, and we're all processing this differently. We just want you to know that we're praying for you, that we're here if you have needs, especially those that are on the front lines, healthcare workers, some of our public servants, those who are essential workers in our community. We're an essential worker here in our community, essential organization, and so we're praying for those of you that serve at Cross Point, and we appreciate your prayers for us as well. But I just want to pause for a moment and have a word of prayer and invite us to kind of join corporately together and just pray for our community, for our world, and for all of those who are serving us through this season. So let's go to God together. God, we just want to thank you for your presence. And as we just kind of sung in that song, that you're relentless in your pursuit of us. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you're a God who never leaves us, never forsakes us. And even in those moments when we may not feel your presence, God, you are still working. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you bring an encouragement to us, that there's a hope that we can grab onto because of you and because of what you did for us and because of your power that overrides anything that this world can bring our way. And so we just tap into that right now. We latch onto that. We want to be the kind of people that show and model that for others around us. And so we just pray that you would help us to be that kind of people this week. We pray specifically for our nurses, for our police officers, firefighters, our medical teams that are all serving on the front lines right now. God, I pray for every single individual who's been touched in some way, that's maybe grieving something even this week, the loss of maybe a family celebration, the loss of a holiday, of moments that we know we may not get back, and our hearts are just a little heavy. And so I just pray that you'd bring encouragement to us. And yet, God, help us to see your hand in the midst of this. We need to see that. We want to see that, and we thank you for that. And we just pray these things according to your name and your power, Jesus. Amen. Well, again, it's great to have you joining us through our digital platform this weekend. We're continuing this series called How to Be a Great Neighbor. And really what we've been doing is we've been trying to help all of us, you know, discover that we all have this mission. For anybody who's a follower of Jesus, we have this mission to help people find their way to God. And I know for some of us, you might be thinking, well, you know, how in the world am I supposed to do that? I mean, God can't use me. And so if you have had that thought at some point or ever had that thought, I saw this great image this past week that I thought, you know, might just be an encouragement to you. It says this. It says, if God can do all of this with a potato, think of all that God can do with you. And so, you know, God can do some pretty amazing things with potatoes. In fact, if you're sitting next to somebody, just turn to them right now. Keep your social distance. But turn to them and just say, hey, you know, you're way better than a potato. And that'll be an encouragement to them because God can do an amazing, amazing work through any of us who are willing to be used. And that's really what we've been talking about, how to be a blessing in our community, how to make our community better and brighter. You're doing that. You're staying at home, serving your neighbors. And I just want to continue to ask you to do that as we continue to work our way through this season. Now, a couple things ways you can connect with us this weekend. We have a digital connection card. So go ahead and take your device out. If you go to the Crosspoint app, and if you don't have the app, you can find it in the Apple Store or the Android Store under Crosspoint Fishers. And in there, there's a connection card. We would love for you to fill that out. It kind of helps us know who's tracking. Tell us where you're from. We'd love to hear where you're from. We realize there are people connecting with us from all across our country. And so we'd love to hear from you. You can chime in on the social channels as well. And so fill that out and share it with us. Also, if you are in need of prayer or care, if there's something going on in your life that we can just pray for you with or connect with you on, we would love to do that. You can hit those buttons on the front of our website or the app. Or if you would like to be a part of helping serve those in our community, there's an opportunity for you to let us know that as well. We've seen some amazing, amazing stories of people providing needs for, helping serve needs of people, providing groceries for people in our community this week. Just amazing, amazing things. It's really cool what God is doing in the midst of this epidemic. And then last, don't forget there's kids and students environments available on the button just to the side of this broadcast. And so when you're done here, and if you have kids in your home, go check those out with your students all the way down from our toddlers up through our senior hires. And so you can kind of jump into their environments, be a part of learning with them this weekend. Now, just a couple quick things. Easter is 1 week away. Next weekend is Easter weekend. I know for some of us, you're like, gosh, I got off my radar. But next weekend, April 12, is Easter weekend. Here's the crazy thing. We're going to have 10 services next weekend. Can you believe it? 10 services. And so we're going to do something a little different next weekend. We're actually going to broadcast our service every 2 hours all day on Easter, starting at 6 a.m. in the morning. So we have a sunrise service for you next weekend. You can get up at 6. You can join hundreds of others at that hour, or you can join us again at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock, all the way to our last broadcast on Easter night at 12 midnight. And then for the rest of the week, you're going to be able to access on demand and engage with our service at any time that you want. So what this does is it gives you a dedicated time to tap into our service, but it also gives you an opportunity to invite friends and family from anywhere in the world to join you. So you're going to get a link this week to our website and to Easter services, and we encourage you to send that out, forward that out to your friends, invite them. Maybe say, hey, I'm going to the 10 o'clock service. Would you join me? And you can kind of do a dual, you know, you can text them, you can FaceTime during it, you can engage during service together, but a great, great opportunity to invite your friends and your neighbors next weekend. Now, one of the things we have going on are these COVID-19 conversations. We've had a great week with these. We've seen hundreds of you on these calls where we're just kind of providing hope and tools through some of our professionals here at Crosspoint. And so this upcoming week, we have another great experience that we want to invite you to. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be an adult-only virtual comedy club night on Friday night, April 10. 9 o'clock at night, you're going to have to register. It's free, totally free, but register because there's limited spots available. But grab, you know, somebody in your home, if they're an adult, have a night out in your home, join with hundreds of others from our community. Invite your friends outside of Crosspoint. Great way to just invite people, friends, neighbors that might like to have a little entertainment, date night in their home, whatever that might be. Grab your favorite beverage, Coke, beer, wine, a dinner, whatever it might be, and make an evening of it. And join us next Friday evening, April 10 at 9 p.m. And so we hope to see you there. Now, whether you're on a device in your hands, you're watching on your TV while you're laying in bed, or you're sitting around the brunch table, dinner table, wherever this may find you right now, we are so excited you've chosen to join us. We've got a great service plan for you this week, and we hope you'll sing along with us and engage with us. Maybe you can go to the social media channels and kind of just say hey as you're watching. Now, we're going to look at our final blessed practice this weekend. And one of the things we've been looking at is how to be a great neighbor, which is so important right now during this time. And so as we look at this tonight, I just want to continue to encourage you that you're making your neighborhoods more beautiful and more bright.
Who's here? Ah, I'm in the right place.
Come on in.
Lloyd?
Holy crap.
Andrea.
Hi, Fred. Oh,
such a pleasure to finally see you.
Oh, can I take this for you?
Thank you. Yes.
Hello, Mr. Rogers.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Gavin. Hello. I hope you and I can be friends someday. Mr. Vogel. May I call you Jerry?
Yes, sir.
You certainly may.
Lord Joanne adored your article, as did I. Andrea, are you feeling better about daycare?
A little. Maybe. What? You're not the only one who talks to Fred.
You know, death is something many of us are uncomfortable speaking about. But to die is to be human. And anything human is mentionable. Anything mentionable is manageable. Anything mentionable is manageable.
You gotta send me a copy. Oh.
Joanne will love this when she sees it.
Be it so much cooler if he was in this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I should get going.
I'll walk you out. I got
Hey, what did you say to Jerry?
I asked him to pray for me. I figure anyone who is going through what he is going through must be awfully close to God.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. It's so good to have you here with us today. You see, Mr. Rogers, he had a way about him. You know, as we watched that scene, we got a glimpse into the unique way that he would just make his way into our hearts, our living rooms. And you may be thinking, Chris, why is this so important? You see, Fred Rogers, he had this way about him to connect with each one of us in such a unique way. He interacted, and he would ask questions, and he would talk about things that all too often we're afraid to talk about. He mentioned death, and he said, you know, death is, it's just a part of living. And anything that is human is mentionable, and anything that is mentionable is manageable. And we're certainly in a season where we're hearing a lot about death. But what I want you to know today is that this season is not forever. This season will not last. We will get through this, and we will see the other side. You see, Mr. Rogers, he had this way of empowering us, encouraging us, and ultimately, when that happened, we all changed. Thanks for joining us here today as we are wrapping up this series, How to Be a Great Neighbor. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Chris Maloney. I'm the pastor of our future campus in Westfield, and so excited to be here with you today. And, you know, this series has been all about, really, how we can be a great neighbor. And this series has been so important, especially in this season of the coronavirus, when it seems like every day, there's something new, there's something changing, there's this rapid movement, and there's so many opportunities to be a great neighbor. And this series is all about our mission of helping people find their way to God. But here's the thing, this isn't just Crosspoint's mission. No, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you're following after him, this is your mission. This is my mission. You see, this is what we should all be going after. This is all of our jobs, to be helping people find their way to God, not just hoping that they do. And so we've been breaking down what we've been calling these bless practices, these strategies that we've been helping you walk through. And we've given you an acronym with the name BLESS. And we've been looking all the way back to Abraham in Genesis 12. You can see it all the way through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the authorized biographers of Jesus' life. We see these practices in play. The very first one is this. It's to begin with prayer. To just every single day, start with this posture of asking God, God, how do you want to use me today? What do you want me to do to bless someone today? Second letter is L. It's to listen. It's to listen to others and to actually listen to the people that we're surrounded by on a daily basis. You see, Jesus was incredible. He was a master at this. He would ask questions and he would pause and he would listen. The third letter is eat. It's to eat together. This is probably one of my favorites. This is one of the best ones to do. I mean, it's so easy to just sit around a table and eat a meal with someone. And you may say, Chris, that's so hard to do right now. Like, how are we supposed to do that? Jump on a Zoom call. Maybe you let go of one of your meals this week, maybe two of your meals. Maybe you grill on your back patio with your neighbors behind you, and you're just grilling on your side, they're grilling on their side. You're eating together. You've got to think of some unique and some out-of-the-box ways as we continue to spatially and physically distance ourselves from others in this season of the coronavirus. So the fourth letter is to serve others. Once you've prayed, once you've listened, once you've eaten with someone, it's pretty clear what is next. You begin to know their story. You begin to know their hurts. You begin to know the ways that you can serve them. And so go out of your way. Serve someone this week. The fifth letter is story. It's sharing our personal story, where we actually have to open our mouths. And so often it seems to hold us back. So often we get so fearful, so afraid to actually begin to open our mouths and start to share. And now something that I've noticed is that we're all equipped with tools to communicate. There's so many different ways of communication. Nonverbal communication is a huge part of how we speak with people. The written word in poetry, or whether you're reading a book or whether it's sung, there's so many ways to communicate. But a lot of it's through these nonverbal ways. And so I thought, you know what? What's the best way we can talk about nonverbal communication? And so I thought, why not give you a tour of nonverbal communication with my daughter, Colin? She's 6 months old, and she can't talk. Shocking, right? And so the only way we can know what Colin's is thinking is, by paying attention to her nonverbal cues. So check these out. I've just got a few of these. This very first one, this is what we like to call her Elton John look, okay? This is her Elton John look, and I know she's going to hate this picture later in life. I mean, Calls, I'm sorry, girl, but, I had to, because, I mean, look, you look like Elton John. I mean, when we see this face, that's her, dad, you're an idiot face, okay? So that's that one. Okay, next one, her tongue out, okay? I love this moment. When I see that, I'm like, oh, she's so happy. She loves us. She's enjoying her time. But that's not true. Quite honestly, what I know has happened is she's just recently filled up a diaper and she's relieved. She's like, oh, thank you, finally. Hey, Dad, let's take care of that. Come on, tongue out means I'm ready for a change here. This next one, parents, do you remember when your kids could just fall asleep anywhere? Just anywhere. I mean, we're in the middle of Target. She's 6 weeks old, 8 weeks old, and she could fall asleep at a moment's notice. The fourth one is this questioning face. And this is a face I get a lot from Collins. You know, this was in the Pike Place Market in Seattle, and she's got that hat pushed all the way down. She does not want to be wearing a coat. She's actually, she's pissed at us. And she's questioning, why are we here? It was so much better when we were inside. It was so much better when I could just lay on the bed and kick my legs. When I'm in this, I can't move, Dad. What were you thinking? This next one, this is her fussy face, all right? I mean, this is probably your stereotypical five-month-old. You know, we dedicated Collins. We did baby child dedications. This was that afternoon. She might have been sweet up here, but no. This is her Dad, I am hungry. I am hungry. I don't want you guys looking at me. I don't want anyone touching me. Someone feed me. That's what that face is telling me right there. This next one. We've all been here, but this is her staring face. Like, there's a donut in front of her. I think she's looking at the donut. It's kind of how we all get when there's a donut in front of us. We just kind of like stare off in the distance and think of the moment we get to eat the donut. I think actually she's probably thinking about what's happening because I know there's a diaper change right after this. She's probably more so thinking of that. I think she's thinking about the donut. And this last one is, I think, probably her favorite. Maybe best of all. You see, my wife and I, we moved this past week. We moved in with my in-laws. We're building a new home in Westfield as we begin to continue to launch this second campus across from Westfield. And so we're kind of in between right now. We're living with my in-laws, and Collins is very excited because her Lolly and Pop are always there. She's with them constantly. She's with them all the time. I'm like having to force her Pop to like put her down for naps. Like, you can't just rock her in the rocking chair all day long. She's loving it though. She's pumped. She's so excited to be with her Lolly and her Pop. And see, we all understand that communication, it's so much more than words. And if we want to move from hoping that people find their way to God to helping people find their way to God, we're going to actually have to do something. There's this quote that maybe you've heard before. It's from a guy named St. Francis of Assisi. He says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You see, I love that. And I think all of us can connect with that. But I think the statement behind this is that your whole life should be about a story that God is continuing to write, that God is doing a work in you. And sometimes you do have to use words. And I couldn't agree more, but there will always be times where we have to put words to our story, actually opening our mouths to share what God is doing in our lives. Because if we want to move from hoping people find their way to God to helping people find their way to God, we have to be intentional in using our words. And so this is where we spend so much time over these last 5 weeks, equipping you with these blessed practices. And as we've been discovering, these are straight out of the life of Jesus, kind of like straight out of Compton, but well, a little bit different. Jesus blessed people everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, life was simply better because Jesus was there. And now I know for some of you, this practice, this blessed strategy is one where you're going to start to feel maybe a little uncomfortable. And so I want to speak into this a little bit today. A few of the reasons that you might be reluctant to share, as I spoke to others and as we kind of talked about this, this is what I heard. This first one is, you know, I'm just not a spiritual leader. I don't have what it takes. You see, we assume that sharing our story is just reserved for those of us who stand on a platform or maybe teach on the weekends, or, you know, it's for those that are educated up on the at the beginning, on the front. Like, that's their job. Like, I'm just going to hand them off to Kurt, or I'm going to reach out to Mark and be like, hey, Mark, I need you to talk to this guy because I have no idea what to say. Or maybe you reach out to me like, Chris, you know, I think you'd be better off talking to this person. But here's the thing. You might send them to us, but you see, your story, the reality of who you are and how you've gotten from here to there is so much better. It's so much better than having all the right answers. It's so much better than having all your theological ducks in a row like you think that we have on this stage. Let me tell you, that's really far from the truth. And so you might be like, yeah, I'll just send them to Kurt. I'll just send them to Chris. I'll send them to Mark. Like, they'll take care of it. No. God is writing a story in you. You have what it takes. Actually, check out what Jesus says to his disciples. This is Matthew 10. He's speaking to his disciples. This is what he says. He says, but this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and the other unbelievers about me. You see, when you are arrested, not if, but when you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. You see, God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking through you. You see, that is so encouraging. And we are connected to those that are connected to the Father. We have a story to tell, and so don't get caught up in your words. God will speak through you. See, here's the thing, and we're going to see this in a moment, but it's this. It's that good arguments, they can't compete with good news. Good arguments can't compete with good news. You might think, like, I just don't have all the answers, Chris. Like, what if they ask me about this? What if they ask me that question about that thing that's, like, buried in the Old Testament, and I have no idea what to say? Listen. Good news is so much greater than a good argument. Good arguments, they can't compete. They can't compete with good news. The good news is that the grave was empty. The tomb, when they showed up on that Sunday morning, when they showed up on that third day, next weekend is Easter, when they showed up, the tomb was empty. You see, that is the good news. It's what we'll be celebrating next weekend right here over these digital platforms. As you heard earlier, sunrise service, 6 a.m. Anybody join me? 6 a.m. I mean, you can go all the way up until midnight. There's going to be so many opportunities for you to invite your friends, your family, your neighbors to Easter at Crosspoint. It's going to be different and unlike any Easter you've ever been a part of here at Crosspoint. But it's going to be so good because there's such good news. The grave was empty. And so when you talk about your story, you see, you're putting the good news of God's power on display. The second one I heard is this. You know, Chris, who am I to impose my beliefs on someone else? Anybody ever felt that before? Like, I'm sure many of you sitting at home, you're like, yeah, I've been there. Like, I don't know if I should really talk about that. Like, I don't want to push it. I don't want to be that guy. You know when you go to IMS, August this year, and there's that guy on the corner, and he's got a sign and a megaphone, and he's yelling all these vitriolic things. And you're like, Chris, I don't want to be like that guy. I don't want to be anything like that. Or maybe you see people at a parade, and they're holding a sign, right? And we all know that depiction of Christianity. And if holding a sign like that, if a guy on a corner yelling into a megaphone like that, if that scares you, good. It should. I don't think that's at all what God had in mind. You see, authentic sharing is so much different. Indian pastor D.T. Niles, I love what he says about this. He says, Christianity is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. One beggar telling another beggar, hey, there's food over there. There's life over there. There's purpose and meaning and identity over there. You need to get over there, man. There's so much more than what you've seen. There's so much life over there. And over and over and over again, we see the God of the universe giving us what we don't deserve, what we didn't earn, and yet, because he loves us and because he forgives us over and over again, we can come and receive that bread. And that has nothing to do with being a spiritual professional. I by no means consider myself a spiritual professional. Like, I might technically be a reverend, but I do not like to tell people that. Like, that has nothing to do with being a professional. That has everything to do with taking the blessings that you and I have received and beginning to tell those around you, hey, there's so much more to this. There's so much more life. There's identity found in this. You need this. This is real life nourishment. The Apostle Paul, he actually puts it this way in Romans 5:8. He says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. And then check this out. This is what he says just a short time later in Romans 10. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Meaning that if you say yes to Jesus, if you say, Jesus, I ask for your grace, I need your mercy, I need your salvation, you get all of that goodness. But then look what he says next. He's, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? You see, words point people to life, to the bread that we're all looking for. The third one that I heard was, you know, Chris, I just doubt that God can use me. I doubt that God can use my story. You know, I hear this one. I've heard this one a lot before. And here's the thing. There are a number of reasons that people say this. Sometimes I think they just believe that their story is not exciting enough. Like, there's not some big thing that God dragged me out of and brought me to. Like, there's just not that big thing. And we're just like, you know what? My story is not that. But please don't believe that. It's your story. And God can and will use your story. You see, the other side of that, sometimes we think, Chris, I was just so far gone. I don't want anyone to even know what it was like when I was there. You don't know the things that I've done, the people that I've hurt. And I really, Chris, don't have it all together. And so how could God use me? How could God use my story? You see, that's the best part. God loves you, not as you ought to be. But let's be honest, none of us are as we ought to be. No, God loves you right as you are. God loves us, all of us, exactly as we are. He meets us right in the midst of it. You see, that's what this whole community of Crosspoint is about. We're a place that we love to say this. We're a place that you don't have to have it all together. Where it's okay to not have it all together. And I know some people probably struggle with that for a variety of reasons. But again, let's be honest. None of us have it all together, myself included. Think about this. Here's how God, here's the creator of the universe. Here's how he describes you. He says this. He says, you are my workmanship. You are a light for a city on a hill. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. This is the creator of the universe saying this to you. This is how he feels about you. Don't allow yourself for a single moment to buy into the lie that you cannot be used by him. He will use you if you'll just let him. And this is at the center of Jesus' life and the center of his mission of what it means to be a blessing. You see, nobody is too far gone. Nobody's life is too messed up. Another one I heard is this: sharing my story, Chris, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. And I get it. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've sat down next to someone on a plane and you start the obligatory conversation like, hey, you know, what do you do? Where are you from? Where are you going? Are you traveling for vacation, business? And of course, those questions start to come back to me and my life. And whenever that question gets asked, I have two options here. If I'm on my game, you know, I can say, you know, hey, well, I'm like a spiritual life coach. I'm involved in community transformation and I'm all about helping people, you know, transform their lives. And when people hear that, they're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, what? Tell me more about that. If I'm not on top of my game, I'll just look at them and I'll say, well, I'm a man of the cloth. And I'll be like, what the heck does that mean? I'm like, I'm a reverend, son. I'm a reverend. And then that's the end of the conversation. I mean, that's it. Like, it's either it goes one way or the other. There's really no middle ground. Like, yep, I'm out. Not another word. You know, and I get it. It may feel uncomfortable at times. But think about when the person that one day is living, when one day they're living and they'll be able to look back at their life and say, you know, if it weren't for this person, if it weren't for them sharing their story, my life would be a completely different story. And what would it be like for you to sit down at the end of 2020 and be able to look back and say, man, I was a part of that story. I was a part of my neighbor finding their way to God. I was a part of my coworker, of someone that I thought was just, there's no way, like it's not even worth talking about this. It's never gonna happen. At the end of this year, this crazy year, for you to be able to look back and say, man, because I shared my story, I got to be a part of life change. But the discomfort, I understand, it's real. And if we want to move from just hoping people find their way to God to really helping people find their way to God, it's going to require at times that we open up our mouths. And there's a story in the gospel according to John, which John was one of Jesus' closest followers. He's with him from the beginning until the end. And I think that this will help us on this journey. You see, John, he shares how there was this one guy that he really reached out in a really awkward and uncomfortable circumstance, and his life changed dramatically. Here's what it says. This is John 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Blind from birth. And so Jesus, again, he's out on one of these walks, and he's on the way. He sees this blind man, and this was not in Jesus's plan. Like, he wasn't planning to come across this guy. Like, he's got other things to do, but it seems like in every story, Jesus, he sees those on the fringes. He sees those that are maybe cast aside, and he stops and he listens. And while it'd be easy to justify, you know, hey, I've got things to do. I've got to keep going. No, Jesus, he pauses He does this fascinating and surprising thing over and over again. He pauses. He listens. He asks the question. So this is what it says next. This is what John has to say. He says, then he spit on the ground, talking about Jesus. And he made mud with the spit and spread it all over the blind man's eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know if I'm the blind guy in this instance, like I can't see what's happening, but I certainly know what's happening. Like, you know, I told my friends there's this spiritual healer that might be coming. So they got me out there. I'm there. I'm ready. And then this guy, he comes up and he starts talking to me. Next thing I know, I hear, no, I'm out. Like, I'm out. I don't want anything. I don't know. I can't see, but I know what that was. I don't want any part in whatever's about to happen. But that's not the case. You see, this is what happens. Jesus rubs it on his eyes, and then he says this. He says, go and wash yourself in the pool. And so the man, he went and he washed, and he came back seeing. Now don't miss this. This is just two sentences. But in these two sentences, something life-changing happens. You see, Jesus, he hocks up a loogie and he spits into the mud and he rubs it on this dude's eyes. But then he comes back with sight, something he had never had before. And so people, they're understandably, they're freaking out. They're like, what just happened? Like, who is this guy? Is this real? Like, I've heard stories, but I did not think that this was real. This is what John says. He says, his neighbors and the others who knew him as a blind beggar, they asked each other, like, isn't this the guy who used to sit and beg? And some said, yeah. And others were like, no, he just looks like that guy. And so they're already discounting this. They're like, yeah, it looks like him, but it's not. Like, remember that other guy's mullet? It like kind of folded up in the back. Like that. This guy's just got the straight mullet and the straight across, like Joe Exotic. You know what I'm talking about? You see, that's not him. Like, that's got to be another guy. And this sometimes happens when Jesus shows up. You know, we're so caught off guard. We just write it off. But this dude is like, no. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that was blind. And now, listen, I'm the guy that was blind, but look, I can see. And that's how our stories work. Sometimes people are like, aren't you the guy from college that, aren't you that girl who in high school used to be like, or aren't you that family? Remember like 3 years ago, that was you guys, right? Or aren't you that CEO who, yes, something dramatic has changed. And this man is like this. He says, yes, I am the same one. And so they asked him, who healed you? What happened? This is such an obvious question, right? Because if you're that group of people right there, you're like, okay, I've just got to know. And here's the thing. When Jesus begins to transform our hearts, when he begins to transform our lives, people are going to notice. And they're going to begin to ask questions. How is it that you can see your time and your resources and your job in such a way that I have never seen you handle them before? How can we be in the midst of a pandemic that we have never seen before in our generation, and yet you're calm, you're peaceful, you're not anxious about your business or about what tomorrow holds? What is going on? What happened to you? And here's what the guy tells them. He says this, the man they called Jesus, that he made mud and then he spread it over my eyes and he told me, go into the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. And so I went and I washed and now I can see. Like, that's it. He's like, I don't have a theological answer for you. Like, I can't tell you about the molecules in the mud and his spit and how that reacted together to form this crazy concoction that changed my eyes. And now, because no, there's nothing more to it. This is all I've got. It's my story. There's no theological backing to this. This guy's just like, look, this was my previous reality. I was blind. On the side of the road, I was a beggar. But you see, this is my new reality. I can see. And so, of course, everyone is thrilled. Well, not everyone. You see, the religious leaders known at the time, they were Pharisees, and they couldn't make sense of this Jesus guy. And they're always trying to pin him on something. They're always trying to get him for doing something that maybe he wasn't supposed to do. And so they dragged this former blind guy before this religious council. And can you imagine? Can you imagine not being able to see for your entire life? And then one of the very first things you have to do is to go and stand in front of some of the most powerful, the most religious people in the entire world and tell them your story. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be that guy in that moment? And they ask him, they say, hey, listen, give glory to God by telling the truth. In other words, they're like, hey, don't stretch this. Don't spin this thing. Like, just tell us the truth. They said, we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. That's what these Pharisees are saying to this guy. And then check this out. I love his response. This is what he says. He replied and he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, though, is that I was blind and now I can see. That's all I can tell you guys. He doesn't try to out-debate them. He doesn't try to out-theologize them. No, he just simply tells his story. And I think this guy's story is a great template of how we can begin to tell and share our own stories. In fact, actually, I want to do something right now. I'm going to take just a second. I want you to go and grab a pen and a paper, grab your mobile device, and just pull it out and open up a note or just flip it up to a new page and get that pen ready, because I want to do something really important here. I'm going to ask you three questions that I want all of us to write down and answer. And in doing so, you're going to discover your story. The first question is this. What was your life like before Jesus? Just a few sentences. For this guy, it's, I was blind. Maybe for you, I was broken. I struggled with purpose or self-identity. I dealt with guilt from my past that I didn't know how to let go of. It's your story. Just a few sentences about how your life, what your life was like before you came to know Jesus. Maybe I grew up in church and then I just kind of fell away, or maybe I never knew faith at all. Whatever it is, just write that down. It's your story. The second question is this, is how I met Jesus. And here, I just want you to describe what's going on when you first decided to follow Jesus. When you first decided to let it all go and put your trust and your faith and your hope in Jesus. Just grab that pen and take a second. Pause the video if you have to. Just take a second and start to think, what was it like? How did I meet Jesus for the very first time? Maybe you found yourself in some type of trouble or tension or transition. And these are typically three of the places that we find ourselves in most when we begin to look at any options out there and when Jesus starts to be able to be something to us in a way that maybe we've never experienced before. How did you meet Jesus? How I met Jesus? Third question is this. My life since Jesus. My life since I met Jesus. You see, for this man, he said, well, I was once blind, but now I can see. How has your perspective changed? How is God working in your life right now? Because we're all a work in progress. It's okay to not have it all together. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. It's okay to be a work in progress, but how is God working right now? Seriously, pause the video. Take a moment. Write a few sentences down. What is my life now since I met Jesus? And you've got to be careful here not to over-romanticize it, not to minimize it, and not to over-dramatize it. You see, it's just your story. You see, actually, you know what? I think the best way for us to get a clear picture of this is to actually have a few of you to share your story. And so I reached out to a couple of my friends this week, and they were really gracious to share their own personal story. And so this isn't just a few of my friends. This is Travis Wilson and then my friend Monica Morrissey just sharing their own personal stories. Check this out.
I grew up in a faith-based family. I went to things like Vacation Bible School. I went to church regularly. I was baptized at a young age, but I don't think it was until much later in my life that I actually met Jesus.
Well, I went to a church growing up, a really big church. Loved our pastor, loved hearing his stories on Sunday morning, felt like grandpa kind of like sharing his wisdom with us. And I always felt like I got a lot out of that. And always had this idea that our pastor kind of had this relationship with God and Christ, of course, but that like it wasn't attainable for me, that like leaders and other people could, but not so much someone like me. Just in general, like a lot of insecurity, concerned about what everyone else thought about me, held me back from pursuing things and feeling like I was capable.
About 4 or 5 years ago, my wife and I were blessed with our daughter. She had a life-altering medical condition that required her to have 3 surgeries the first year of her life, significant surgeries. She had trouble with simple things like eating and drinking, things we may take for granted. So we as parents stepped in, as any parent would, and devoted our life to making sure our child thrives. But in the midst of that, our relationship began to struggle. So it was a decision that my wife and I made, as that we wanted to bring faith back into our life and bring a relationship back together. And that's inner Crosspoint. That's where Crosspoint happened. And that's where I met Jesus.
That all changed when I met who Jesus really was, and it finally resonated with me and who he could be in my life. I remember Kurt sharing a message, and it was about treating your spouse as if they're more important than you. And this was, the idea was that we all have our reasons, right? Like for thinking that we're more important or that our needs are more important. You know, there's things that no one else understands, no one else has been through. Like, you haven't understood my betrayal, you haven't understood blah, 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 all these things, right? Jesus went through all the things we went through, and by choice, like God put him on earth to experience all of the things, like the trials, the betrayals, the sadness, the hurt, the loneliness, everything. And yet he still chose to treat everyone else as if they were better, as like he lifted them up above him, because that's who he was. Like, his faith was unwavering, his love was unconditional. And it was in that moment that I realized that that was the God that I wanted in my life. That was the God I wanted to fill my heart and to live with every day and to share with the world.
It was evident in the beginning that Jesus was present in our life more than we knew. He's blessed us with community through Crosspoint. He's blessed us with friendships through Crosspoint. The relationships that we've developed through Crosspoint are some of the most fulfilling relationships I've ever had in my life. That my mother passed away unexpectedly last year, and it was something that was a big shock to my entire family. But if I had not had that intimate relationship that I did with Jesus at that time, it would have made things so much more difficult for me to move forward in my life. Being able to have someone to pray to, having that community at Crosspoint and those friendships that I had developed at Crosspoint to lean on, had I not had those, I'm not sure how I would have handled it. And as a result of those things, I leaned in even further with my faith. And recently we made a decision we're going to be part of the build team at Crosspoint Westfield. None of those things would have happened had I not had that relationship with Jesus.
My husband and I we got baptized, and that was such a wonderful and beautiful moment for us and for me and my relationship, and just taking a step forward. And then and serving, just going all in, and for all the ways that he's loved me and changed me, that I'm giving back to others. Since meeting Jesus, I just feel more like me. Like, I was worried that I would feel this restriction, but I feel this freedom, like this huge weight is lifted. I don't have to worry about the things that I'm not or the things that I can't do. Thanks, Viv. But the good is so much better. It's greater. It's beautiful. And the hardships and the struggles, I don't feel like I'm facing them alone. And I feel like I can find joy even in the hard stuff. So, he's just brought so much joy and positivity and love to my life and surrounded me with a community that I just didn't even know existed.
You see, there's nothing in those stories that's overly theological. These are just personal stories of what God has done in the midst of my friends' lives. And so let me give you three really practical quick hitters of how we can walk out and begin to do this week. The first one is this: let God write your story. Maybe you're here today and you found yourself asking, like, God, what do I have to even say? Where is my story? Maybe you've not found your way to God yet. And maybe you're wondering, God, are you talking to me? Now, don't let this moment pass if you find yourself right there. Maybe today, through this digital broadcast, is the moment that you make your way to God. Don't let a few bad chapters convince you that God doesn't want to write a new story in your life. See, God desires more than anything to write a new story in all of our lives. And so we'd love to hear from you. If that's where you find yourself today, maybe you just want to pause and just spend a moment saying, you know, Jesus, I want to invite you into my life today. I want to lay down my past, my burden, my shame, and I want to walk with you every single day. Maybe this is your moment. So maybe that's going to be one of your next steps. Like, I put my trust in Jesus. Just mark that done. We would love to connect with you and pray with you this week. The second part is this. It's to just compose your story. Actually sit down with a pen and a paper and write out those questions that I asked and begin to write some sentences, to put some words to the paper. And maybe this is the first time that you actually have done this in your life. See, it might just be a few sentences, but all of a sudden when you're done, there's going to be something so powerful in this because it's your story. The Apostle Paul, he says in 1 Peter, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give them the reason for the hope that you have found. You see, if you're living out this blessed strategy, you know, people, they're going to ask you. They're going to be like, hey, what's up with you? Why are you doing this for me? Why are you different from everybody else? And you're going to have an opportunity to say, hey, this is my story. I was blind, and here's what happened. And now I can see. And lastly, this third one, ask God for opportunities to share the hope that you have. Now only ask, let me put a caveat here. Only ask if you're ready for him to give you opportunities to do it. Because I can promise you, as soon as you ask that question, there are going to be opportunities thrown into your lap to begin to share your story. Don't sanitize it. Don't minimize it. Don't romanticize it. Sometimes we think that we've got to change our story to make it worth sharing. No. Don't do this. It's your story. Just share it. When you say, it's no big deal. No. You're minimizing what God has done in your life. Maybe we can begin to say it like this. You see, maybe the most painful part of your story could be the most life-giving part of someone else's. You see, where your experience is someone else's hope, where your experience is someone else's link to seeing what God can do in them. You see, your life could be a page on someone else's survival guide if you would just share your story. And as Paul says to us in Romans 10, we looked at this earlier, but he says in Romans 10:13, he says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How can they hear about him and unless Mark tells them? Unless Brad tells them, unless Monica or Danielle, or unless Eric tells them, unless Clay tells them. You see, you have a story to tell. And God, he will use it. And you will bless those around you when you simply share your story. Let me pray for us. God, in this moment, I ask that you would just encourage and equip each one of us to not be afraid to share our stories. That we would pause today, that we would grab a pen and a paper, and we would spend 15, 20, 30 minutes with you, Jesus, and just ask you these questions and begin to write out our story. God, would you bring clarity to our story? Would you help us to remember the details, the things, the moments that we forgot, the people that came into our lives that talked about you, Jesus? And God, for those of us that are watching this on the video right now, God, if they have never met your son, Jesus, if they have never walked with Jesus, and yet they're feeling this tug right now in this moment, God, I pray that they would pause, that they would sense that, and that they would step out in faith and ask you, Jesus, to be the guide, the leader of their life. Jesus, would you walk with them as they begin this relationship with you? It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.